preguntas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Glenn Williams from the Department of Justice in the Office of the Deputy Minister. I'm missing the apologies of Ms. Kosana, but I'm fortunate not to attend to the briefing today. Honourable Chairperson, there should be two documents before the committee today, two notices. I'm not sure if you want to deal with me plainly or separately, but if I can, it depends on the chairperson regarded by you. But let's see if I can start, Mr. Chairperson. The first notice is the one for the judges. In terms of the Justice Remuneration and Conditions of Employment Act, the president, after receiving the notices and the recommendations of the Independent Remuneration Commission, considers the salary increases for the judges and for the magistrates, whereafter he refers it by notice to Parliament to approve or disapprove. So the two documents that are here before you, the two notices, one is for the magistrates and the other one is for the judges. In terms of both the notices, a recommendation has been made by the President, as submitted by the notices, that an adjustment of 5% should be determined with effect from 1 April. In other words, it's for the 2013-2014 increases. So we're backdated from 1 April 2013. The same applies to the magistrates as well. Perhaps on the field to recall, I think last year the recommendation or determination by Parliament was 5.5% for both the magistrates and the judges. The only difference in terms of the current notice from last year, over and above the percentage increase, so that I think the committee should take note of, is the fact that in terms of the basic salary component will now be equal to 70% of the total package, which constitutes a pensionable salary. Last year, it was still 60%, and my understanding is that the magistrates and also the Local Court Remuneration Commission have made a recommendation to the Independent Remuneration Commission that the increase from 60% to 70%. The department also supports that increase. So that increase included in the notice for the magistrates. So that is the only difference between last year, 60%, and now it's 70% in terms of the pension of salary for magistrates. Chairperson, the second document, so this in terms of the two notices, so these are the notices that are before the committee. Now, just in terms of the process, perhaps if I'm allowed to just mention, in terms of the process, the Independent Remuneration Commission will consult with the Chief Justice, the Minister of Finance, and the Minister of Justice in terms of the recommendations, whereafter inputs can be made by those three, and then be considered by the Independent Remuneration Commission. My understanding is, in fact, that the Chief Justice for the first time this year has, in fact, made a representation on behalf of the magistrate, but I'm quite sure they will be able to elaborate on that. So that process has been followed. It was then considered by the President, and the President has recommended a 5% increase. Perhaps Honourable Chief will recall, initially, a sliding scale was recommended by the Independent Remuneration Commission. In other words, it would be a sliding scale from 5% to 0%. Just in brief, it would mean that any person receiving above 1 million rand not to perceive that increase. But my understanding again is that there has been discussions between the Office of the Chief Justice and the President's Office, where after a increase of 5% for all magistrates and judges has been recommended, and this is what is coming in the notice for approval before the committee. And in terms of the legislation for the committee to approve or disapprove, the notice is coming before the committee. See, I'm not sure as we go on, I think one of the other issues that you have requested is the issue of the Constitutional Court judgment, or whether I should first leave it there and talk about that later, because it's one of the issues that you have asked me. Chairperson, you would recall that the North Gauteng High Court set aside the present decision for the 2010 2011, notices in terms of which the, at that stage, the Independent Remuneration Commission has recommended a 7% increase, and whereafter the President, after consultation with the Minister of Finance and other stakeholders, decreased it to 5%. So that decision was set aside on the basis that it was not irrational. And that was the decision was challenged by ANSA. Subsequently, on the 23rd of May, the Constitutional Court gave judgment, and the well, there are two issues here. The one was that the previous conduct decided was not an administrative actionable and reviewable under PAJA. That was the one issue. And the second issue, the Constitutional Court also decided that the President's decision to decrease it from 7% to 5% was not procedurally unfair, and also that AMSA failed to show that in its representation that the Commission did not take into account all the recommendations that were submitted before it. So, in other words, the Constitutional Court, in the end, decided that the President's decision was in fact rational, and two, that it's not, doesn't fall under part of the or not review.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, President. Can we have the presentation from Joas?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. We presented, we were requested to make a presentation and have it given to Mr. Dixon by 11 o'clock on Monday, with the idea that it will be transcribed into Braille and so on, so that everybody would have a copy thereof. I saw that it was, copies were only made of it now, so I'm assuming that nobody has had a chance to read through it. In that case, would you give me the opportunity then to read through the document, as I don't think anybody has had time to go through. This would be this is a document by Jawasa on the 10th, dated the 10th of February 2014, the Honorable T.M.H. Mofokeng, Chairperson Select Committee on Security and Constitutional Development. Yes, sir. Jawasa thanks the Honorable Chairperson T.M.H. Mofokeng for the invitation to brief the Select Committee on Security and Constitutional Development on the Tuesday of February 2014. Judicial Officers Association of South Africa is a non-voluntary organization which represents approximately 1,300 judicial officers of all ranks, magistrates, senior magistrates, regional court magistrates, chief magistrates, and regional court presidents. We are mandated by these magistrates. At the outset, it is important to note that JOASA has no mandate from its members to oppose the implementation of the 2013 recommendations by the IRC or Independent Commission for Remuneration on Public Office Bearers. However, our members are extremely dissatisfied with the recommendations, nor do they accept that the IRC, I'm just going to put it briefly, has properly carried out the mandate as required in terms of Section 8.6 of the Independent Remuneration of Public Office Bearers Act 92 of 1997. JOASA supports the IRC recommendation to increase from 60 to 70% the basic salary component, which constitutes the pensionable salary, but must categorically state that the Commission failed to take into consideration the impact of this recommendation on the pockets of the lower court judiciary, in that the net salary increase is nothing more than a few hundred rand. The main complaint has been coming for years from magistrates that the RC has failed in its responsibility and constitutional duty to make remuneration recommendations in accordance with the prescripts of Section 8 of Act 92 of 1997. Instead, they make recommendations without proper investigation and inquiry into the role, status, and responsibilities of various levels of judicial officers. The Commission's failure to properly investigate has led to recommendations from magistrates that are shockingly inappropriate, and that no consideration has been given to the fact that some public servants, like public prosecutors working in court, earn much higher salaries than magistrates, although magistrates are regarded as the higher status and are factually the apex decision makers in magistrates' courts. On confronting the RC regarding prosecutors any more than magistrates, the deputy chair at that time, Ms. Vieja, responded as far back as the 7th of April 2012 with the following. Due to challenges relating to the Commission's competing priorities as well as resource restraints, we are not able to undertake the comparative study at this point. We hope to revisit this matter at a later stage. It's almost 2 years later and some ranks of prosecutors still earn more than magistrates. The 2013-2014 salary recommendations by the RC is now here, but silent on this burning issue. It is inconceivable that the Commission would have difficulty or require resources to conclude that prosecutors are qualified only to prosecute in criminal cases and can do nothing else. Magistrates judge criminal cases, also civil cases, family matters, children's court cases, and perform so many other judicial functions. On the 29th of August 2013, Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng met the IRC together with the Lower Court Remuneration Committee. He reminded them that the salaries and benefits of judicial officers cannot be reduced. To reduce salaries does not require percentage reduction. Failing to give an increase to judicial officers or giving them increases below the yearly inflation rate results in them being unable to purchase what they were able to purchase a few years earlier. That is a reduction in salaries or benefits. On the 24th of January 2014, Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng was the main guest speaker at JOASA's 17th Annual General Conference Gala Dinner. In his speech, the Chief Justice was resoundingly clear in stating that salary gaps between judges and magistrates are too wide. His sentiments were nothing new because JOASA has been pleading with the IRC to narrow the salary gaps between the different level of judicial officers for many years. The IRC in its 2013-2014 recommendations made an attempt at bridging these gaps by proposing a cost of living adjustment on a sliding scale. But this was ignored by the state presidents who, in his discretion, made a determination of 5% for all public office bearers. This has now had the effect of increasing the salary gaps considerably more, placing especially the district court magistrates at a severe financial disadvantage. The executive is fully aware of the problem and what should be done to correct the situation. The Deputy Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development, the Honorable John Jeffrey MP, in his keynote address at the Judicial Officers Association 17th Annual General Conference Gala Dinner on the 24th of January 2014 said the following. We from the side of the executive fully aware of the issues flowing from the 2008 recommendations, which appear to be at the heart of the problem. As I've mentioned, while we are not unsympathetic, we must accept an immediate adjustment could in certain circumstances mean 100% increase in salary and benefits, which is simply not feasible. We agree in principle that adopting the approach that is based on a sliding scale as a way of reducing the salary gap between the entry-level magistrate and the highest-paid judicial officer is the correct approach, and that the measure which is aimed at curbing the widening of the salary gap between the lowest and the highest-paid judicial officer appears to be a sound one. It would therefore seem that the Honourable Deputy Minister is fully aware of the lower court judiciary only receiving 50% of the remuneration which they are objectively entitled to. Furthermore, the adoption of a sliding scale to reduce the salary gap between the Chief Justice, the highest paid judicial officer, and the District Court Magistrate, entry-level magistrate, is correct and a sound approach. The present situation has persisted at least from 2008, a period of 5 years, and the present approach is exact opposite of the admitted correct and sound approach. It does not seek to implement the RC recommendations of 2008, nor reduce the widening salary gap. The problem is further exacerbated by the President of the Republic, who went against the RC's recommendation in respect of certain ranks of public office bearers. Strangely, money was sourced to effect this increment, which was not recommended by the RC, but no attempt is made to find the same for the lower court judiciary. Lack of resources and the unfavorable economic conditions should not always be used as an excuse for delaying the corrective implementation of the lower court judiciary remuneration dispensation to reflect a single judiciary. We have attached JOASA's 2013 submissions to the IRC. JOASA recommended that the IRC should act on the 2008 findings and recommend that the link should exist from the anchor, that is the Chief Justice, to the lowest judge, must be continued to the lowest magistrate to give effect to our constitution and reflect a single judiciary. The percentage drop in remuneration from top to bottom must be uniform. This will not only enhance the office of the magistracy, but also eliminate the perception that magistrates' remuneration packages are still composed similarly to those of ordinary public servants. The constitutional judgment delivered on the 23rd of May 2013, Aram Savas as the President of the Republic of South Africa, affirmed, 1, that magistrates form a vital part of the judiciary, 2, that adequate remuneration is an aspect of judicial independence, and 3, that the judiciary should not be put in a situation of having to negotiate with the executive about remuneration. That is accordingly important that magistrates' conditions of service, including remuneration, are adequate and consistent with our constitution. The current recommendations of the RC fail to take heed of the judgment of the Constitutional Court. What is also alarming is that the RC perceives its independence as a reason not to account for the rejection of submissions made by stakeholders. It is common knowledge that JOASA and other bodies presenting the judiciary have been making submissions to the IRC annually. These submissions question obvious discrepancies in the past and present recommendations by the Commission. But the Commission avoids accounting for its recommendations. Magistrates want to know with whom the Commission consulted and what investigations were done and by whom. All these questions are as a result of doubt which has grown about the authenticity of the findings of the Commission's reports, especially since we now have the admission by the RRC in the 2013-2014 report that they lack funds and resources to perform their functions adequately. JOASA would strongly recommend to Parliament that it takes all necessary measures to ensure that the government provides the RRC with the necessary financial resources and expert personnel to enable the IRC to comply with its statutory obligations. It is imperative that the IRC acts on its 2008 findings and recommend that the salary link which exists from the Chief Justice to the lowest ranked judge be continued to the lowest ranked magistrate. This will be in line with the expectations of our South African Constitution and reflect a single judiciary. The IRC must comply with the general approach that there must be a narrowing of salary gaps between the highest earners and the lowest, and that the ratio percentage drop in remuneration from top to bottom must be uniform. Magistrates are frustrated and demoralized as a result of the constant worry about the salary benefits and lack of tools to perform their valuable functions. We trust that these concerns will be addressed. Due to the delays and long processes every year for our salary increases, the 2013-2014 salary adjustment is now 10 months overdue. We are already in February and no invitation has been issued to make submissions with the view of the 2014 salary adjustment. It has to be stressed that the RC that they have to conform with the Act so that the remuneration increases can be implemented timeously before the 1st of April every year. Thank you.
The honorable members, you can comment on the presentations. Honorable Matilda.
Sure. Let me firstly welcome all inputs, but also indicate that this is not for the first time that we are dealing with this particular meeting. Last year we refused to sign in as this particular committee on adjustment. Now, we have brought in a bill that brings in the entire judiciary, because magistrates were functioning differently from judges. Now, we brought that control into one system. Now, we believe that through that program, as a committee, through that program, the necessary adjustments must be made. That's why we also dealt with another bill, that even lawyers can be appointed as judges. Now, we brought that thing. We agree with whatever sentiments you are putting forward for ourselves. We want yourselves to assist us to deal with that particular process. You know, because systematically we are trying to bring in all these issues and make sure that we internationally we don't operate differently. Because at some point the truth of the whole situation is that some lawyers are better trained than advocates, you know, because of the way they go through that particular process, you know. That we understand. That we understand very well. Now, we are saying to ourselves, we are going through this particular process. Now, we don't want to find this particular committee in the same situation as last year. For now, we want to agree so that we can then advise the future to deal with some of these particular pertinent issues that affect magistrates. I can tell you, the Pretoria Magistrates Court is a mess. Those people don't perform. I can tell you that now. I've been there several times, I've observed a lot of things, I've seen a lot of situations. You know, I've been fighting with the Pretoria Magistrates Court. Now, we brought this thing into a single system of managing all those particular processes. With these cases, James in particular, the head of that particular court, was a mess until she was dismissed by this particular committee. But they brought that case yet to us. We have more than 20 cases we are dealing with about magistrates. More than 20 cases in this particular period. Now, the case you are bringing to us, we say you must assist us to deal with that particular process. The reality of the matter is, it can't be about money with the South Africans. We're too spoiled. What is point? Now, I'm saying, yes, we agree. We have seen the gap. We want to close it. And I've indicated earlier that the training is different. LLB, MBA, and a lawyer there who then get appointed as a magistrate are differently trained. We just received information last week as to how these two portfolios go through their process. And that is the situation, Chair, that for now, because we are going through, Chair, I want to recommend that, because all public office bearers, all of them, irrespective of what they earn or what they don't earn, have received the 5%. Now, I want you to put forward this recommendation of 2012 that was made to us. We rejected and we refused to sign for the president to sign on those particular recommendations because of problems we have seen with a lot of magistrates. The Ministries Commission comes here in front of us. They bring a lot of cases. A lot of cases. Now, as you are representing magistrates, go back to them and tell them that we have started the process, of aligning this thing, of managing this thing properly, of making sure that all of these things are going through. We sympathize, we agree with their problem. We agree. We don't have a problem with this. We agree. But we are saying they must also change their attitude. That's what we're saying. I've given you one example, but if you look at ministries that have been suspended, whatever, because of all these wrong things that they're doing, then they can't come here to us and tell us, we are underpaid. We understand they're underpaid. A prosecutor can be paid more than a head of a court. I agree with that situation. But how do we change it? How do we move forward? Now, we started with making sure that the Chief Justice becomes head of that whole process. And the Chief Justice must then come to us and say, how do judges, magistrates, and whatever. That's how we started with the whole process. We are trying to align that whole process. Because, you see, when you go throughout the whole country, the Treasurer Ministry is independent, it does things his own way. Then you go somewhere else, those people are independent, they don't think it's their own way. And we've seen a lot of wrongdoings happening in those particular courts. And that's how we started to align everything else. Chair, thank you very much.
You also, in your presentation, you talked about the 2008, I've noted you're not good, about the 2008 findings by the ICRB. Do you think if they can implement that, your concerns will be answered?
Yes, I strongly believe that there was an overview, and I think Hein will go into that in more particular, is that when the corrections were made for the High Court, that similar was not implemented for the lower court judiciary. It stopped there. So that was the start of all that. You must remember that when you see a salary amount for a judge, let's say it's 1.4 million, that is only his package, his remuneration package. When you see a magistrate at 743, that is his total package. It includes everything. So the judge, you will find 1.5 or 1.8, whatever the amount is, but that excludes his benefits. It excludes the fact that he doesn't contribute to a pension fund. I have to contribute to a pension fund. I have to buy my own motor vehicle. He doesn't buy a motor vehicle. I have to insure my own motor vehicle. He doesn't. He pays he gets a petrol card, which he uses his car, he never pays for service. So his benefits isn't included in the total amount of his salary, but it's included in mine. We use exactly the same criminal procedure or civil procedure. We apply exactly the same laws. It's just sad that when the corrective measures came in 2008, and that was not only for the High Court, that was also with regard to parliamentarians also, where all those adjustments were made. The exclusion was brought only on the lower court judiciary, and we were under the impression that because of financial implications, it would be implemented the next year, 2014, and we're exactly in the same position. But I'm a magistrate now 23 years. What I could have done 10 years ago, I can't. It is unbelievable that I am struggling now to make ends meet as a magistrate in 2014, and I didn't have those problems in 2007-2008. You must also remember that the magistrates, the different levels that you had to go into, you have a first leg, second leg, third leg. That was scrapped. So there is only one level of magistrate. So if I'm working there for 20 years and somebody comes in and starts tomorrow, we get exactly the same salary. And it's dependent on me to teach that person, to mentor that person, and so on, which we do. I just want to add, and it's not my intention to, sorry, would I be able to, would you allow me to respond, or must I stick to the question that you asked?
Yes, just stick to the question, you respond to other hands. I've noted other hands, but before you can respond, I've seen Honorable Bunda in this question.
Okay, you'll respond after that. So I will allow her to respond later.
Yes.
Thank you. Jose?
Hey, thank you, Chair. I strongly believe, and I might differ with my colleagues today, magistrates can't be treated the way they've been treated now. It's unacceptable, firstly. Secondly, magistrates, they play a very, very vital role in our judiciary system. And Chair, it is true what I just said. I have sat in many courts listening to judges, listening to magistrates, and they using the same law. They don't use a different law. And so it's unacceptable when it comes to the magistrates that there's no money, but there's money for other people. It's unacceptable, Chair. I don't care if my colleagues differ today with me, but Chair, I believe we as South Africans, we are busy making this. That's why we have this. Remember, I always ask the question, why is it only magistrates that come to us and magistrates that come to us with problems? These things, Chair, makes them frustrated. Seeing that, listen, I'm doing this, and the very same man is doing this, he's getting double my benefits. That thing, Chair, they might not say it to us today. They might not say it in the past. But deep down in the back of the mind, that thing is destroying their morale. That thing is just, therefore, you can ask yourself a question. How can someone go and study law or to become a magistrate, and when he's a magistrate for 10 years, after 10 years, he becomes ill-disciplined, he don't care about his family. See, it is these things. Seeing that, listen, this man is the deliverer, I'm saying. In South Africa, we talk about we must start to become equal, the inequality. Well, one of the most high, and I will always be an example, with us and the ministers. That is wrong. And this is where the problem is, Chair. It is time for this committee to stand up on their feet and make a recommendation to the president or whoever, or to the minister, and say, listen, it is time that you look to these people and we give you 180 days, look to these people, we can't let this in. Tomorrow, when the magistrate goes to the street and joy, Then we will come and say, oh, they are ill-treated, they are ill-disciplined. But who caused them to do that? Who caused them to do that? And say, I'm an objective person. I'm not hungry and greedy for their money. I'm not hungry. But if they do work, and I will close with this shame. Remember there was an emergency that we wanted to go and visit in Uppington. It never happened. There is now a Chief Justice in Uppington. An advocate. I think it's more than 16 years now in magistrates, what? He's acting for the past 3 years. They can't appoint him because some people are there civil with him. And he has taken his case up and said, this is not right. All I'm feeling today, when I read this thing, I don't think anyone has. If this is the truth in this document, last time we have spoken about the tools of trade and how they can work, if a magistrate will walk out of his car, a magistrate will do that, and still we expect them to be disciplined, we still expect them to do the right things, and yet we don't look after them. It's unacceptable. I might be a lone voice in the desert, but I always speak my mind when it comes to issues concerning our people. And here I'm referring to the magistrates. How can a prosecutor who is not even on the same level of a magistrate, getting more money than a magistrate? How can we allow a system like that? If we have adopted the system, let's change the system. We are in government now. We must do better. Let's change the system. And stop this thing of saying, there's no money, there's no money. But there is money for the judges. There is money for those people. Now say we must stop this thing. We must stop this thing. And I will say this thing right and down to the highest court. We must stop it. As members of parliament, it's not fair. In your position, you go to bed, you have needs, you have everything. But the people next door have nothing. Have nothing. And forgive my language if I say it, Jay. If we're not rectifying this thing, how on earth will we say tomorrow the legacy? We are a better government than the apartheid regime. How? I believe that this government must look after their people. This government has made a promise to his people that we will look after you. Let's look after the people of South Africa. Let's look after them, Che. Tomorrow, our children must go and study. They don't want to study because they say, no, look at that man. He's doing this, he's doing the same thing. He's getting 100 times more than me. We can't allow these things, Chair. And I'm sorry if I sound emotional, Chair. I had friends, and I feel his pain. Because right now I'm having 2 magistrate friends. Chair, it is sad when a magistrate comes to you during in the middle of the month and says, I don't have food in my house. He's a magistrate. If I was not his friend and the other colleagues were also his friend, where would he run this chair? I mean, and the people must listen to him. He's sitting there. He's talking to the people. And yet this man is suffering. So I'm pleading, Chair, please, let us get away, even if it means, this is we are the first parliament. We are closing on the 7th of April. If it's possible for this committee, Chair, if not the whole committee, but I plead if I can be part of the delegation, set up a delegation to meet the right people concerning this issue. So we can't let this thing drag on and drag on and drag on. And the first parliament is coming, they're going to drag on and drag on and drag on. Tomorrow, this very same minister will stand in the seat and say, we don't vote for this government. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Where we can stop the pain, when we can heal our people, let's heal them. Let us stop them crying. Let them be proud of Africans. Let them be proud of the judicial system. Let them be proud to say that I represent the government of South Africa. Because in two senses, they are representatives of this very same government. They must see to it that the criminal system is in order, that the criminals are getting behind bars, the criminals are delivering them. It is their duty day, and tomorrow, we want to continue to them, but we don't look after them. I will stop and close with what I said in the church. Don't judge the youth if you have never spoken to the youth and feel their pain and their burden.
don't judge the magistrates until we feel their pain, temperature.
Thank you, Honorable Kunda. When Drake was indicating to me that I must stop you, I said, no, I understand it is the election time. You are in the election mood, Mr. Kunda. Ms. Rafa? Hello, Bosa.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. As a new member to this sitting, I just find it unacceptable what my esteemed colleague has said. How many other organs of state have had their increases retracted or withheld because they're undisciplined? Are we keeping salary increases away from this system because they're undisciplined? Then we should look back and study and see which organs of state they all are and retract all those salary increases. Because I find it unacceptable. I want to agree with what my colleague over there said. Not everything, but most of it. But we have to be very, very sure when we speak of undisciplined magistrates, because there are many other organs of state where undisciplinary action should also be instituted. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thought I was not going to be given an opportunity to address you. I represent the Association of Regional Magistrates of South Africa. You invited us to make a submission, and may we do so, sir.
Are you not part of RASA?
No, I'm not, sir.
Okay, let me give the gentleman, and then you will make the presentation after him.
Thank you. Before we go further, there was a question I wanted to ask him. What the gentleman said, what's his surname? Zuma. There was something that he said about, I think it's benefits of the judges concerning a federal card. Can you just, when you answer questions, just clear me on that. Is it, did I hear you right that you said judges are using a federal card paid by the state and they don't pay for petrol? I just want to hear that. Thank you, sir.
No, wait comes to my filler.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you,
Chair. Thank you, Honorable Chair. And thank you, Honorable Members. My name is Mr. Govender. I'm the Vice President of JOASA. I'm not going to elaborate on the submissions that I've mentioned by Mr. Jumat. I think it is comprehensive enough to understand that we are not here today to upset the apple cart, as they say. We don't have a mandate to say that this increase must not go through. I think that there is some misunderstandings pertaining to that, as it comes from the Honourable Member sitting across me. I think it's also very important to understand that when we talk about salaries, especially coming from magistrates, the first and foremost aspect is that magistrates never say at any stage that they want the salaries as judges. We've never said that. We've always said align it. As the judges align our salaries on a sliding scale so that one can see from the salaries that you are paying that there is some sort of system in place and some sort of logical alignment. And by saying that, I also want to comment further, and I think it is very important. I think it is totally wrong in my view, and this is just my view, that whenever magistrates talk about salaries, to bring into the play the conduct of other magistrates. I think, with all due respect, I think that is not the right way to go. The reason I'm saying that is that to paint all magistrates with the same brush, I don't think that is the reasonable way of doing things. Now, I accept, and I think we can all accept here today, that there are magistrates that have acted improperly, that are subject to inquiries. But one must understand, firstly, that they are innocent until their guilt is proved. And that is the premise under which we work as magistrates. And I think as any other reasonable citizen of South Africa. Now,
when we talk about changing attitudes in order for us to support an argument for correcting the imbalances in the current salary system, I think again, there is something wrong with that argument. Why should attitudes be changed in order for us to correct something that is permanently incorrect? The entire salary grading system, the system currently, is incorrect. And that is what we are crying about. That is what we are arguing about. For us to come before you and tell you that a prosecutor earning more than a magistrate is unreasonable, the perception that that creates is not in accordance with the norms of salary payments. It is clearly unbecoming, in my view, of someone to be presiding in court, making the decisions as to whether someone is guilty or innocent. To effectively, one would say, and I'm just using this terminology loosely, to play golf with somebody's life. And for that person to earn a lower salary than the person that is sitting below him, who only prosecutes, and that is all that is qualified to do, irrespective of whether he's got an LLB or an LLM, he's only qualified to prosecute cases. He cannot adjudicate or preside or make that decision whether a person is guilty or not. Going further, he cannot deal with any civil matters. He hasn't a clue because he is not trained. He's not an expert. A magistrate is an expert that has been trained to do civil matters, family matters, a number of matters. In the regional court, you know the position. They even do divorce matters. So one cannot compare a prosecutor and a magistrate. They are worlds apart. So when you, as reasonable citizens of the South Africa, you as people that are the decision makers, look at this. It's okay to say, yes, we agree that a prosecutor must not earn as much or more than the head of court. But the point is, this has been going on for years. And nothing has been done about it. To suddenly say, well, now there's this new change and there's been new bills that have been passed. Yes, we know about the bills. We were asked to comment about the Supreme Court Amendment Bill, about the Constitutional Court Amendment Bill. We commented on those bills. We supported those bills. We know what it's about. And we're in total agreement because we have the confidence of the Chief Justice. He has come to the association, he's come to our conference, he has spoken at our conference, and he agrees. The Chief Justice of South Africa agrees that the salary gaps are too wide. It's a problem that needs to be resolved. So yes, we know what his plans are regarding a single judiciary. We support him wholeheartedly regarding that. But the point is, he cannot fix this problem himself. He doesn't have the budget. He doesn't have the portfolio to do that. The starting point is here. This is where it begins. If we talk of attitudes, I'm going to be so bold as to say, can't we all change our attitudes? Also from your side. Look at this openly. Think about it and rationalize it. Don't just look at it and say, well, these people want more money. Let's then attack them and say, well, let's look at your productivity. Every court is different. Every magistrate is different. You may write faster than your colleague that sits next to you. You may think quicker than the person that sits next to you. More importantly, you may have less matters than your colleague in the court next to you, or the court down the road, or in another province. It may be expected of you because of your heavy workload for you to work faster. So when your statistics at the end of the month, when you complete your statistics, you will show finalization of more matters because you've got a higher volume of matters. There may be a situation where you have a lot of matters, but for some reason or another, you do not have the necessary expertise because you're a new magistrate. You've just been appointed and you are now in this huge catastrophe where you've got to try to do voluminous amount of cases, but then you do fewer cases. So different courts, different people,
let's not put productivity with salaries. Because if we're going to be doing that, then we are associating magistrates with people that are commissions and agents. Magistrates are not those people. You adjudicate, you decide, you take your time, and you make sure that when you give your judgment, that it is 100% correct and you can stand by it. So please, I'm saying, if we're going to work to find a proper resolution, I think we need to be reasonable and rational on the way forward. I'm saying move aside of painting all magistrates with the same brush. And talking about the issue of attorneys and advocates also suitably qualified. Being a magistrate is also a career choice. And I'm just using a case in point here. I'm a qualified attorney. I've written my sidebar exam. I've practiced in the sidebar for a number of years. I've appeared in the High Court. I've defended people in the High Court. Multiple accused. And I've got them acquitted in the High Court before a judge. But it's my career choice. I wanted to apply for that post as a magistrate and sit on that bench because I wanted to work with the community. I wanted to work with the people. I wanted to be part of that system. But the very system now is turning against me. And I'm being criticized because a colleague of mine, maybe in Pretoria, is not doing his work properly. He is now being investigated for some sort of misconduct. And I'm here asking, please, help us resolve these issues. And it's been thrown in my face that because that colleague is behaving irrationally, I now must pay the price for that. I think that is totally unacceptable. Thank you.
Wait a moment. So you said you're from AMSA?
That is correct, Chief.
Okay, I was not aware that the AMSA is also here. You can make a presentation. Just a brief summary. He will respond on the Gunda.
Thank you, Chairperson. You invited us to bring and brief this committee on the salary adjustments and the progress made by the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development and the Independent Remunerations Commission to resolve the magistrates' grievances. If you recall correctly, we were also here on the 13th of September 2012, and at that stage we made submissions that you reject the then proposals, which you indeed subsequently did. It was reversed at a later stage by which manner we don't know. But in any event, we received that that amount. So allow me just to afford my gratitude to the chairperson for allowing us to make representations. And further to apologize on behalf of the president of RMSA for not being here. She's giving a judgment in the High Court where she's acting at the moment, and unfortunately this is a rather urgent matter and she had to so accept our apology on her behalf. Firstly, RMSA do not wish to be seen to be negotiating with the executive in this regard. I think it's impermissible, and this submission should not be construed as such. We all know that the IRC on a yearly basis must make representations or recommendations after taking into consideration the factors contained in Section 86 of the of the Independent Commission for the Remuneration of Public Office Bearers Act, and they include the role, status, duties, function and responsibilities of the magistrates. Now, this was at issue on the last occasion. We submitted that that has not taken place. I go through this document, and it has been presented to your offices timelessly. It has also been hand-delivered yesterday and today, I believe. Because we couldn't get hold of the secretariat due to personal reasons. We go briefly through, and I know we pressed for time, so I'm going to try to skip over portions of my document just in the effort to save some time. Of importance is on page 3 of my document, where the Constitutional Court decision has been highlighted, where it deals with the issue of the judiciary. And it states, as you also correctly indicated, that remuneration of judiciary goes to the heart of judicial independence and is fundamental importance to our constitutional state. If judicial officers lack the security, their ability to act independently will be put under strain. This is what is found by the Constitutional Court. And then they go into the workload, the increase of workload between the time period of 2004 up until the current position. And it is, they gave a brief exposition of the increase of workload, and that the magistrate's workload, and especially regional magistrate's workload, has increased significantly due to the implementation of the Regional Courts Amendment Act, which allows us to do divorces, that took most of the divorces away from the High Court, and also a number of the larger civil actions. The Constitutional Court, in a rare statement, indicates that in constitutional court speak, that one should look at the remuneration of judicial officers and lower court judicial officers as a matter of urgency. Now, this all took place at around about the same time as we spoke on the last occasion. As you will well know, there was great dissatisfaction amongst the magistracy. And at a time when an association decided to take industrial action, there was a flurry of activity in relation to the department and the IRC wishing to speak to the magistracy. And I'm just going to mention, I've added some minutes to my bundle in which I minuted what took place on that occasion. One of the participants of that meeting is present here today, and from the department side, and might wish to corroborate this. In this, there was great promises, in inverted commas, not so strong, maybe it's too strong a word, but there was an indication that we would, the department from their side, will look at magistrates now. Please just, let's try to act rationally. Put the strike on hold. We will look after you. There was promises made that we will look after the medical aid scheme, that we, as the Lower Court Remuneration Committee, which I formed a part of, will be incorporated in drafting a feasibility study as to moving out and being on the same medical aid schemes as the honourable members. That never happened. Moving our pension fund out of the normal GPF, which is generally accepted as being inappropriate, being a magistrate and the GPS, going out. Again, we would have been joined in going forward. Personally, I've mailed our proposals through to the person that I was asked to do so, as reflected in the minutes. Nothing has happened. Moving over to the Independent Remuneration Committee, similar to what you also have said, there was a meeting on the 12th or 13th of December, where we from all over the country came to meet with the IRC. Again, promises were made that there would be meetings and there will be an open communication, and we will try to resolve matters in a positive spirit to the betterment of this country. We would have held three meetings during the course of last year, in which we would have a better understanding of where they're coming from, and they could have an understanding from what we are asking and how the road can be walked together. We were at a loss because of the lack of particularity in their statements and in their recommendations. And we confronted them and we asked them, is there any of the principles espoused in the 2007 recommendations that has fallen by the wayside, so that we can play amongst the same rules and with the same rules as you are doing? And the commissioners at that stage were not, they didn't want to put their head on the block and said they will return to us, but they will let us know before we make up further submissions. This, again, did not take place. Neither did this open communication that was promised. Again, just empty promises. On the positive side, and I'm just giving feedback so that this committee understands where we're coming from. From the positive side, the Low Court Remuneration Committee was formed by the then Chief Justice, and members of this delegation is also forming part of the Lower Court Remunerations Committee. And during this year, the Chief Justice accompanied us. We had a meeting with him beforehand, and thereafter he accompanied us when we made a submission to the IRC. But this was again a 3/4 hour submission. We just presented our case. No comment, no engagement, none whatsoever. And we applaud the Chief Justice for his leadership and his vision in coming to a single judiciary. He passionately asked that the issue be revisited relating to the judiciary. Again, this fell on deaf ears. We made the point that from 2008, this is the figures that the IRC used, and I will return to that later, some magistrates, some judicial officers have lost, in effect, a month's worth of pay due to the erosion effect of inflation. Some of them were about to lose at that stage 11.8% of their pay. That's a month's worth of pay in anybody's language. Now, I don't know. That is significant, I suggest. The IRC at this stage suggests that they take into consideration the Section 86. This is what they also argued in the High Court. But looking at their latest report, they say, and they have reiterated this in 2007 also, that they do not have the funds to do so. So either they do or they don't, but at this stage it seems that they don't. None of the factors that they are statutorily obliged to take into consideration has been addressed in any manner or means in their reports. I've attached for your benefit the complete report of the Lower Court Remuneration Committee, and if so requested, I will grant the 2012 and 2011 reports for your perusal. They have not addressed this. Let me put it to you bluntly. In 2004 was the last time that the structure of the IRC, spoke to magistrates about the role status, duties and functions of the magistrates. This happened in May 2004. This is a decade ago. Thereafter, it was we met with Judge Mosoneki at the Constitutional Hill, and that was formed the basis for all the other things that happened thereafter. That role, status, duty, and functions had not been addressed since. Now, as members of Parliament, you would know how many acts you have passed that has a direct impact upon our workload. Crime levels are shot through the roof. That has not been addressed. The Act says it must be addressed on a yearly basis. 10 years have lapsed. 2007 was the recommendations. It was not acted upon. 2008 came a second set of recommendations dealing only with the pensions issue, and I must remind you that the other office bearers, with the exception of magistrates, pension dispensation was changed. Magistrates was the only public office bearer that had nothing given to them in the 2008 recommendations, other than a mere suggestion that we need to get out of the GPF, and again, 6 years have passed and nothing has happened. IRSA decided to distill our grievances into five major areas. The lack of proper engagement with the Lower Court Remuneration Committee prior to publishing the draft recommendations of the IRC.
it is our suggestion that the consultation taking place through the Office of the Chief Justice is nothing more than mere window dressing. I have included in the bundle of documents the draft that was presented to us, on which we commented at the meeting with the Chief Justice and with the IRC, and the final recommendation. You would see that the changes are mere cosmetics, and in essence, nothing has changed. I've already addressed the issue of the fact that the last consultation with regards to the roles, duties, status and functions of magistrates took place in 2004, and that's not I'm not going to belabor the issue. Just to add that the judicial landscape has changed considerably since 2004. A full review of the lower court remuneration structure is urgently needed. The principle set out in the 2007 first report must be implemented as a matter of urgency. The fourth point that I wish to raise is the timing of the request for inputs, and this is the second year that magistrates have not received any salary increases during the December holidays or even before. Remember, it has to be done from the 1st of April the preceding year. Put yourself in the position of a magistrate where he has to structure his salary relating to tax and other benefits, and well, the tax year's passed. He hasn't even received last year's salary increase. Now, how does he structure this? Substantial prejudice occurs. The total lack of support received from the Department of Justice in various instances. And I can just mention, maybe in reply to the Honourable Member there, the lack of progress relating to the lower court's bill. It was announced more than a year ago. We haven't even seen the first draft thereof. We don't know where it is in the process. Certainly, if we are to be asked for inputs, we would be part of the process, should we not? The redrafting of regulations that addresses a lot of the tools of the trade issues. Again, promises were made and not kept. The lack of training support. Sajay has come into being. Courses are arranged. Magistrates close their courts and remand matters. And then on as short as 2 days' notice, the courses are just cancelled due to the lack of the Department of Justice paying over funds to the Sajay account to accommodate this training. Now, if one was to talk about the accountability of judicial officers, surely the Department of Justice must play their part. The non-provisioning of cell phone allowances. One of my colleagues next door to me hasn't got a cell phone allowance. I do. How do we equate this? The newer point is, don't have cell phone allowances, and the Department of Justice just goes and says, we haven't got the money. Well, do whatever you want. Create a grievance with the Magistrates Commission. The non-provisioning of, or let's put it this way, the lack of urgency relating to the medical aid and pension issues. That is to briefly encapsulate the briefing as to what happened since last year. Now, the reason that you are partly here and that you've asked our inputs is what to do about the notice currently before this House. Now, ours is in a very difficult position in that if we say reject it as we asked for a year and a half ago, it means that magistrates are going to lose that meager salary increase because it cannot be backdated for more than a year. We do not see the possibility of going back to the IRC and then the President and still be implemented before the 15th of April. So it's in a position where when the principal decision would be refer it back, but we are not, as IRMSA, are not requesting that at this stage, simply because our members are in such financial embarrassment at the moment that they simply cannot afford it. 70%, 30% split. Although we as the Lower Court Remuneration Committee and us as ARMSA in particular asked for that, it was asked in conjunction with the increase in salary. So it would have had a very limited effect upon the take-home pay of the magistracy if they have received a higher than a 4 or 5% increase. Now, this coupled together with the increase, the lower than inflation increase, together with a higher percentage of pensionable increase, has the effect that before tax, magistrates receive a 1.4% increase. That is how it works out. Now, I've been inundated yesterday with calls of magistrates that just say, we cannot make ends meet. We've got two children at university. We've got kids at school. We've got a bond. We've got a vehicle to pay off. We simply cannot do it. Please do something. Ask the Parliament to do something. And as much as I try to explain, there's very little that you can do other than putting the people on terms in bettering our position. Magistrates are really desperate. The morale is at an all-time low. And I've been working personally on the salary issue for 16 years. And unfortunately, with very little success. I leave you with this words. I've adapted it from the famous Benjamin Franklin quote. If you think that it is expensive to fund an effective and well-trained lower court judiciary, imagine what it would cost not having one. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. You want to respond to the issue raised by Honorable Quinta, and then you'll come after.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just two aspects. Firstly, I want to congratulate you on what you picked up. And that is the implementation of the 2008. If that has to be implemented, it will come in line with what the Honorable Deputy Minister says. He says that magistrates are only earning 50% of what they should have earned. And that is why his quote is as follows. As I mentioned, we are not unsympathetic. We must accept that an immediate adjustment, imagine if it's adjusted today, our salary is the way it should be, could in certain instances mean 100% increase in salary and benefits, which is simply not feasible. That's the first point. The second point, with regard to the implementation from the member across, the Honourable Member across, is that if we could ask for that rejection, we would, but time constraints is against us, and the reason is that the time that the IRC gives its recommendation, we are already fighting time, because we need implementation before the 1st of April. If we don't have implementation there, it is lost. Our salaries cannot be backdated for more than a year. Then, just on a final note, and I know it's always been said there, how courts operate, and that they are not productive, and so forth. We, as magistrates, don't have the tools of a 3G card, for example. So, if I do a case and I need to research, I either have to research it at work where I have an access to internet. Because if I go home, I cannot research that unless I get my own internet and my own time in order to do that. So, the magistrate is in a catch-22 here. If I research at work, I'm not productive. On the other hand, I must give you 5 hours of court time. I still have my administrative functions to fulfill. The magistrate just doesn't sit at court, in court every day, and people judge him from that hours. Thank you very much. On the aspect of the question which was posed to me, can you just repeat it, please?
The petrol card and the car allowances.
As I say, when you look at the salary of a magistrate, that salary which you have there is the total package. When you look at the salary of a judge, that amount you see there is only his take-home salary. It has nothing to do with his benefits. His benefits are not included in there. For argument's sake, he does not pay for a motor vehicle. The state presents him with a vehicle. He does not pay insurance on that vehicle because it's not his name. He doesn't maintain it. It goes to the state garage. He doesn't use fuel out of his own pocket because he has this card which he has with him. Whether he drives to work and back every day, whether he goes on vacation with his family, it doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is that he has that benefit. Now, I don't even have the benefit where I have a car. Out of my total pensionable salary, I must buy my own motor vehicle. I must pay for that motor vehicle every month. I must insure that motor vehicle. I must maintain that motor vehicle, and I must put in fuel myself. So, if you look at my 5% increase, which is reduced by the 10% salary bit, and you see that I'm only getting 1.4% of money in my pocket this year, you must know the 5% which the judge gets is actual money, 5% on his salary which goes into his pocket. And nothing comes out there towards a motor vehicle.
Okay. Honorable Matila, Honorable Basov, Honorable Kunda.
Let me clearly indicate. I said just on this chair, when we rejected the offer in 2012, I said here, I was vehemently opposed to what the judges were giving to themselves. Vehemently opposed. I was sitting here. Because I compared judges with the magistrates. Last year, in October, we called Judge Museneke. We said he can't have
it.
That's the reason. Who is now heading that commission? Now, we called him here. He was sitting with us up there. Now, I challenged him because I could not understand the difference between the two. Ourselves as parliamentarians, judges are getting better than us here. I'm indicating this because they give themselves. You see? Now, this is the point I've raised, and that is the reason why I said we can't reject this 5%, but we must fight on to get better for magistrates. That's the point, because when we rejected, you could not get an increase. You see? Now, these are the issues I'm trying to raise to yourselves, because we don't understand them. We don't even understand how, what is the rationale behind it. You know, I asked that magistrates do more work than judges. Because you have too many cases than themselves in front of you. And that's what I raised here. And I said, what is the rationale? You are better trained. No? Because you come in as lawyers, whatever, no? You go through a different process than the same judges. I've raised it here. And that's the point I started with, to say, let us accept that this 5% must go through so that we then fight on. Now, these are the two different areas, because you lost the salary precisely because we rejected. You lost the salary. But we wanted to make a point then that we reject this salary and we can't allow the president to sign. We had to come back and sit as a committee to deal with that situation to make sure that we get an increase. We involved in injustice. I'm pleading with you, that's why I said, the reason why we are lining all these things is to, you must assist us, we must assist you to deal with all these matters. It's not a simple matter. You know, judges are judges for life. You are a magistrate, not for life. That is the situation. They earn a salary for the rest of their lives. Why can't you? That's the point I've raised. They have all these benefits. The same benefits they have, we don't have here. And we've been raising this particular matter. And we said, why can't we put yourselves? Because, you see, you are dealing with the same issues, but you are doing more work than themselves. And that is the point I raised earlier. Yes, understand me. The magistrate commission will always come here. Yeah? With a lot of cases around magistrates. I'm not saying we're painting all magistrates. They are very good magistrates, they are bad magistrates. They are very good judges, they are very bad judges. But I'm saying, you know, this is what we're grappling with. Now you must assist us to deal with the situation. You must assist us. I've been saying to Skosan in the minister's office, how do you make sure that this matter is resolved, is dealt with? Because we can't pay magistrate fees. You know, ordinary members here get more or less what magistrates are getting. Ordinary members here. Yes. More or less the same. But we must do more work. We must travel. The same that you are doing. Pay for all these things. The same as you are doing. And I don't understand why a judge must get a different package like the president of the country. You understand the rationale I'm bringing forward. And that, those are the issues we've been raising all along. I've been fighting for magistrates all along.
You have made a point, Honorable Matthias. Honorable Sir.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. It is evident that we are struggling to eradicate crime and corruption in this country, but it is clear that our magistrates are frustrated to keep on fighting to ensure our safekeeping because no one is fighting for them. There is clearly something wrong with our systems as these officials cannot negotiate for a better salary, and it's time that we really sat down and did something about it. If we do not look after this leg of our judiciary system, they cannot function as is expected of them. Thank you.
Kunda, you're the last one.
Thank you, Chair. Let me just say this. Today I'm amazed. I don't know what to say, Chair.
If you don't know what to say, keep quiet.
No, not in that way, Chair. So, how is it possible, and it's a pity the department is not here today. We need the department here. I hope they listen. How can you give a magistrate cell phone allowance? But you give ordinary people cell phone allowance. The next thing is, we keep on preaching the future of the country, how we want to see the judiciary system, but we don't pay for the training. And we pay for eating. The other thing, sir, that I really, it's unacceptable where judges don't like us, whether it's the Review Commission will give the next 10 guys 3%, that's their baby. It's unacceptable that judges can be treated as deputy president and the president, and magistrates are be treated as ordinary public servants. It's unacceptable. And Chair, if it needs be, I'm serious about we must get the department and the right people here before we rise on the 7th of April. so we can have a debate with them so that the full parliament must take this thing serious. This thing needs to be implemented, sir. When we implemented the adjustments for the correctional services, the officials, money was there. Now there's no money for the magistrates. So I know, and I know how it feels if you can't pay for your children university fees. Say, then, we dare not say we are equal before the law. We are not equal before the law. Whether the constitution said so, look at the treatment. When I listen to Amsterdam here and I listen to Russia here, it gives me a picture that I'm living in a country that's still 20 years behind, 30 years behind the developed world. And yet, I believe we are not. But still, our judicial system are in a mess. Just because nobody look after them. Nobody care about the magistrates. But when you look to the prosecutors, they certainly are up there. They can tell you whatever they want, and they brought tools. So I know some of the MPA colleagues in Uppington, they work with D, with expensive laptops and whatever, and fans, and all these things, but the magistrates don't have it. I'm pleading chair with this thing of the research unit. I'm serious, sir. I asked a bit of the secretary today, and through you, chair, if it's possible, let's meet with these people, and let's solve this problem. This is a big problem, chair. As a member of parliament, I don't know if I will come back, but even if I don't come back, I will be out there preaching for those magistrates, because I'm a public figure. All my life, I speak on behalf of the poor. So the magistrates, which we think, the people out there in the township, they think magistrates are rich people. They think magistrates are the highest paid people in the court. And yet, they are even lower paid than the person that they must try and assist here, the prosecutor. Because the prosecutor is just asking persons to get you guilty. He's got nothing to do further than that. But that magistrate that sits there must make a decision for the future of a human being. So all I'm asking, sir, through you and the secretary, let's arrange this thing, sir, and let's, if it's possible to answer to Russia, I'll give you my email. Just email me the benefits of those people. I'll take that thing on myself on.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'm not going to labour any of the points that have already been taken, but just to add a little bit on some of the issues. The Honourable Member, who I think to a point where I misunderstood where he was going, I think he totally supports our grievances and he totally understands us. And I'm humbled by the support that magistrates are getting in terms of their concerns and complaints, and I thank you for that. We really appreciate it. I think it's after a long time that we are seeing this type of reception. This issue of productivity, I think it's very important also to understand that whenever you equate productivity to salaries in a discussion and a debate, always think about tools of trade which magistrates require in order to be productive. And also something that we always miss is the working conditions. I mean, some magistrates, their offices are like little cubicles. They work in containers with no air conditioning, with no ventilation. They're expected to walk through members of the public, through people that are going to be appearing as accused in court. The working conditions in some cases are absolutely unacceptable, but yet they persevere, they continue, they strive and they try to make sure justice is done at the end of the day. These are the magistrates, we should not be painting with the same brush as those magistrates that work in luxury, good conditions, have all the tools of trade. But yes, they are some of the provinces. So yes, they've got laptops, they've got 3G cards. I don't know whether it's the regional heads in those particular provinces that are more accommodating to magistrates or what, but in some provinces, there are no laptops. Although there has been this handout now of laptops, but it's placed on your desk. They've taken out the desktop. They've now fixed the laptop on the desk. It's affixed to a cable to the wall point. There's no 3G card. You cannot remove the laptop. In my case, I cannot remove my laptop and take it home. So they've taken a perfectly working desktop computer. They've now fixed a laptop on your desk with no 3G card. And they say, well, you wanted a laptop, there's your laptop. I cannot take that laptop home to prepare my judgment. So I'm in the exact same position. All that has happened is taxpayers have basically paid much more money. They've lost more money. I'm not sure what happened to those excellent working desktops. When managers started to complain, hey, but this laptop screen is too small. So they brought now another TV screen and they placed it behind the laptop. So now you've got a huge screen and you've got the laptop attached to your desk. So I don't know. There's something that needs to be sorted out regarding that. Talking about tools of trade, we all know when you go into a magistrate's room or court, they're wearing gowns. I wonder whether you've ever asked yourself that question. Who pays for that gown? I've got my gown now going for more than 10 years. I need to replace that gown. And I asked for a quotation. It's close to 4,000 rands for that gown. Department of Justice does not pay for that. I've got to pay for that from my own pocket. That's my tools of trade. Because it is expected in terms of the Magistrates Act that I must wear a gown to appear in court, but I've got to buy my own gown. I'm curious, what is the position in the High Court? Those gowns must be costing a lot of money. But those judges don't pay for those gowns. I'm almost willing to bet that. We talk about other issues and benefits. Yes, prosecutors also, they don't pay for their gowns, provided by the Department of Justice. When we talk about, I don't want to use prosecutors as a comparison because they're public servants. I don't want to even talk when you talk about training. I don't want to talk about those huge functions that they have at the end of the year in five-star hotels and all those things. But yet when magistrates talk about training, there's no money. I don't want to talk about that. But that is a reality in which we are facing. I don't know how we're going to resolve it. The Honourable Member said we must work together. Yes. But the way forward, there has to be a way forward to resolve this position. The concern that I have, beside the tools of trade, which I am sure if you apply your mind to it and if you try to engage the Department of Justice, that something may turn regarding the regulations, or maybe in terms of the new lower court, as my colleague had mentioned, where something can be done in terms of incorporating the new regulations and enforcing then the Department of Justice or government to pay for those tools of trade and giving 3G cards. But as a suggestion pertaining to a way forward, the biggest concern is lack of funds. As you see with the minister, he agrees, yes. We know that magistrates are being underpaid. And as Mr. Jumat has correctly pointed out, he has conceded that we are earning 50% less than what we should be earning. That's in his speech. We know from the IRC themselves that they've got no funds. Now my question is, how can a commission that is tasked and mandated in terms of the Constitution and in terms of an act, a statutory act that has been passed by this House, how can they say they have no funds to perform such an important function? How can they then say there's any legitimacy to that recommendation that you're making? If you say I have no funds to do a proper investigation, a proper assessment, so what is that document you're giving us? Where did you get that information from? How can you say you've got no funds in one breath and the other breath you're saying, well, this is in terms of our diligent work and in terms of what we have concluded and what we have come to. And another concern is, who are the experts? I know from the communications that we've got from the IRC that they meet once in every 3 months as a committee. Now you can work your own sums up. That's the committee. But who's doing the investigations on the ground? Who is going and looking and trying to find the comparison? It's very easy in terms of CPI index. Just go into the computer and punch a few things, then you'll know exactly what is the inflation position, and it's easy then just to put in a document. But the actual investigation pertaining to the prosecution, earning more, as you've now seen, they've conceded again. We've got no funds, so we're not going to do that investigation. That would be the starting point. Sort out the issue of funds so they can't complain. And then I think you need to ask questions. You need to confront the chairperson of the IRC. Firstly, who are these experts that's doing the investigations? What qualifications do they have? What expertise do they have? Because it's easy to hide behind this shroud of secrecy and say, we've investigated, but we're not going to disclose what we investigated and how we investigated, where we investigated. It's easy to say that. And it's easy also then to leave us in the dark as to whether or not that report is authentic or not. So I think there needs to be an oversight from your side. You need to look at that and you need to ask. And you need to ask also about the funding. How can you perform your function properly in compliance with the statutory requirements if you say you have no funding? What have you been doing all these years? So you're accepting the situation that magistrates are underpaid. You're looking at their submission and saying, I've considered your submissions, but I'm going to, I'm only going to give you 5% again because of lack of funds. I think that is totally unacceptable. It's time we turn this tide around. And I think, I agree, if we work together and we're asking for your help, we're asking that you do whatever needs to be done in order to change this tide. We can't come here next year with the same complaint. Please, thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, when we were preparing for this meeting, the secretary asked whether I should call the chairperson of the commission, and I said you must help give Juasa and AMSA the opportunity to make their presentation. After their presentations, and then we'll call the commission. Tomorrow I'll be also having a meeting with the Deputy Minister of Justice, and we will certainly convey your concerns and your request. That we are also tired of seeing here before us complaining about the same thing that they can sort out. Certainly we will call them before we rise, as Honorable Gunda said, and revert back to you with the details of how we went with the meeting. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, maybe I can just remind you, when the invitation was extended to us, I contacted the chairperson of the Magistrates Commission, also relayed to him what we were going to present here today, and also asked him to inform the Chief Justice of what our presentation was going to be. And he then came back to us, and they in essence gave their blessing to the presentation which we were going to do today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You are released. You want to say to Ed before we close?
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if I understand you correctly. So the department, in other words, they will perhaps, a lot of issues have been raised here, which is only known to the others in the documentation, that, for example, was the lowest rate in terms of the circular that they had. So I'm not sure if you have to respond later. Indicated you maybe will be speaking to the Deputy Minister and perhaps also see how you can take the process forward in terms of the Independent Relations Commission. That so I'm not sure if it's a process that it will be required to respond later. Or
yes, you can respond later, Ms. Mike. Matida.
Chair, I want to move that this committee has agreed that we implement the 5% and we'll go the same route as we have explained today. But in the meantime, let's implement the 5%.
Thank you very much, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. This brings us to the end of the meeting. The meeting is adjourned until tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Thank you.